Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Monday morning. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville, Eric Bickle, and Jason Bishop. We're going to get some NFL rumors and insight from Jason Lockenfour coming up at 9, but wanted to touch upon the Redskins' decision at number 2. It seems pretty obvious that if Joe Burrow goes number 1, that the Redskins will turn to Chase Young, the stud defensive end from Ohio State. Jerry Brewer has a column in the Washington Post saying, don't overthink it. But there are others like Barry Svrluga, who we had on the show, that say maybe the Redskins should trade down and get more picks. This is a team that didn't win many games last year. They're not expected to win many games this year. And then there are even others that say, hey, Tua was supposed to be the best. Maybe you just draft Tua. Do you think that they do anything different than the obvious, simplest thing to do, which is draft Chase Young?
I'd put my money on Chase Young. I think too many other things have to happen for them to trade out of that. And then, again, we've talked about this a billion times. It depends on how much they like Haskins. If they're not sold on him at all, then, yeah, Tua's in play, or maybe Herbert's in play. I don't know. But if I had to put money on it, it's Chase Young.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And when you're picking, especially this high, you're not only trying to get the best player, you're also trying to mitigate risk as much as you can. And Chase Young doesn't seem like there's a lot of risk involved with that pick. He's a guy that if you pick him, if he stays healthy, he should be an anchor on your defense for 8 to 10 years. If you pick Tua, you're picking a 6-foot-tall quarterback, if he's that tall, with a long injury history heading into the NFL. I just think there's less risk with Chase Young.
And a low wunderlich, by the way, that came out over the weekend.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, that was a little bit misleading because that was the score he had on the first time he took the wunderlich. I think he scored 6 or 7 points higher the second time he took it. So, I mean, look, you know what? Lamar Jackson scored a 13 on the wunderlich.
Yeah, don't put stock in that.
Okay, so
Richard Sherman says, these guys don't even care about that.
I mean, Dan Marino, I think, scored a 16 on the wunderlich. Would you let him quarterback your team? I'm pretty sure that you would.
Cakes, would you bet right now the season win total on my site, and it's probably similar on most sites, for season wins for the Skins is 5.5. Would you go over or under that, knowing what you know right now?
It's a tantalizing number.
Wow, I would go over, and I don't know anything. I would go over because, I mean, 5.5 is such a low bar. What'd they get last year?
Three. But again, they went through a billion different quarterbacks.
I would bet the over, but I wouldn't be crazy about it. Just, yeah. I think they can make the leap from 3 to 6 or 7, especially if the defense is better, and it can't be worse. I mean, you bring in Rivera and Del Rio, and you add a Chase Young to the mix. The defense, you know, there's still questions about the secondary. The defense should be markedly better if you add Chase Young to what is already a pretty good front.
I got to go over 5.5. I have to.
I want to challenge listeners to give us the case as to why they shouldn't take Chase Young with that number 2 pick. And then you guys can state the case. 800-636-1067. Because Chase Young does seem to be the obvious pick. And as I mentioned, Jerry Brewer in the Washington Post writes a column to not overthink it and just draft Chase Young. But what's the case that should be made not to draft Chase Young? What should the Redskins brass be thinking about? What's going to entice you? Is it the Dolphins? If the Dolphins decide to move up, whether it's for Herbert or for Tua, the Dolphins, two first-round picks, does that entice you to move down?
The problem is there's no reason for the Dolphins to move up the way it looks like it's playing out. You know, unless there's another team out there, and I don't know who would be. Like a, I don't even know. Would it be a Jacksonville? I don't know. That
maybe like the Chargers. The Chargers have been rumored to want to jump up and draft either Herbert or Tagovailoa.
But they're
going to
get either one. They're in all likelihood going to get either one unless someone moves up and trades with the Skins. In other words, there's no need to trade with the Skins because the Lions aren't going to take a quarterback and the Giants aren't going to take a quarterback.
The Skins' leverage at number two has softened probably over the last 7 to 10 days.
Because it seems like there's no reason to go there.
Here's my little case, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't just draft Chase Young. My little case is if I looked at the Redskins team right now, I'm Ron Rivera, they're more set on defense. I'm not saying the defense can't get better, but you drafted Montez Sweat a year ago. You've drafted Payne and Allen recently with number one picks. So the defense, you got Landon Collins. The defense has, I'm not saying an elite player like a Chase Young, but the defense has, to me, much more talent than the offense, which has Terry McLaurin, and you can say, okay, you drafted Dwayne Haskins last year, but very unproven.
Right.
They got to bolster that offense. And I'm not saying do it with the number two pick and draft Jerry Jeudy there, but I would maybe make a case that you'd be better off trading down so that you can draft some offense. You'd feel better about it.
Yeah, I've come to the realization. I mean, it's been several weeks now where I've suggested trading down, but the problem is there's just no reason. Like, no one's going to trade up with them. Because I do think if you could get, say, two or three first-round players, that would be equivalent to getting a Chase Young type, right? A game changer, yeah. A Hall of Famer. But it just doesn't seem like that's likely. The only other thing I would potentially do is draft Tua. I don't know enough about Herbert. I mean, I just would not draft Herbert, but I don't know enough about him. If you think that Tua is markedly better than Haskins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you think he's markedly better, then, you know, this is a kid who was dominant out of high school, right? Was dominant in college. He's had injuries, sure, but he typically rises to the top and wins. It'd be hard to pass up on him if I thought he was markedly better than Haskins.
They're not going to take Tua because if they were going to take him, they would have already traded Haskins. So you would have already been sitting there, too, knowing you're going to take Tua.
I don't believe they're going to take him. But
that's what I'm saying. So if they were going to take him, Haskins would have already been traded because you can't have Tua and Haskins and Kyle Allen.
Well, didn't they wait to trade? When did they trade Rosen? When the Kyler Murray thing? When did they do that?
That was pre-
They did it right before?
Pre-drafting him.
Did they do it right before?
I think that was before the draft.
No, I don't think so. I thought it was during the draft.
It might have been.
You'd have to check that.
Right, it might have been.
But they would... But they would want to get an extra pick in this year's draft, so they would trade him before the draft. This is not going to happen. Haskins is going to be the guy.
Rosen trade, by the way, came a day after they drafted Kyler Murray.
There you go. A day after.
Day after.
So why couldn't that play out, Jason? Same exact thing.
I just don't see it. It's rare.
I guess they're going to do it either, but just last year it happened.
But I think that Chase Young, you can keep yourself in ball games with a better defense, and then you work on the offense, obviously. But you draft Chase Young, your defense gets better, and you can keep your young quarterback in games because of that.
Look, I think they're probably going to draft Chase Young.
You trade out of that pick, and then Chase Young somehow falls to the Giants, then you're facing him twice a year, and that could be trouble.
True, yeah. But I'm just saying that this team has a much better defense right now than it has an offense. And if you do the conventional thing, which is draft Chase Young, and you don't make any trades, you're not drafting an offensive player until at least the third round, and you still need a tight end, you probably need a left tackle, you need another wide receiver, you're just not going to have that many picks.
I'm not trading out of that pick for a receiver. No way.
Well,
unless I got a receiver and two other studs. There's no way I'm trading Chase Young for just another receiver. That's not good enough.
No. But if you were able to get the Dolphins' two first-round picks, the later first-round picks, maybe you take a receiver, you know, one of the guys that Jason loves, you take a CeeDee Lamb, you take whoever, and then you draft a tight end. I don't know. I just think the offense needs to be addressed much more than
defense.
Hold on.
What deal do you want them to make with the Dolphins?
Give me two first-round picks.
Which ones? You just said the later ones. You want 18 and 26? That's
no,
not
that doesn't get it done.
No, you got to get five as part of the package and then one of the later ones.
So you're only going to do it for five?
I would need another
either 18
pick
or 26?
Five, 18, and a second. I would do it, but there's no reason for the Dolphins to do it. That's the problem. There's literally no reason, because if you think, like Jason and the rest of the world thinks, that they're not going to draft Tua or Herbert, you know that the two teams in front of you aren't, and I don't see another team jumping up and trading with them.
I need multiple first-round picks, and I need a future number one. I don't need 5 and 18 or 5 and 26, toss in a second or a third. I need multiple. That value to go up to two has to be way higher than just a couple first-round picks.
Say Jacksonville wants to just press the reset button. They don't want to deal with Gardner Minshew. They want to take Tua at number two. They want to leapfrog over everybody else. I'm going to want their number 9 pick, their 20 pick, and at minimum their second-round pick, if not next year's first-round pick.
Gotcha.
I need to load up. And I would. By the way, if I'm Rivera and Kyle Smith, I'm keeping those phones open until 2 minutes before I have to make the pick.
Yeah,
I'm listening to everybody.
The one thing I would say is, I don't think that Rivera is sold on Haskins. So if he does, I don't see it happening. But if he does get blown away with a trade offer, I could see him doing it.
Sure.
Again, it's got to be blown away. It's got to be a really good deal.
All right, let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. We know that the likelihood is the Redskins draft Chase Young. The conventional wisdom is they're going to draft Chase Young. Don't overthink it, but want to hear you make a case for another scenario. Who's up?
All right, let's go to DJ in D.C. DJ, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
What's going on, Junkies? How y'all doing today, man?
Hey, DJ. Doing all right, man.
All right, man. I mean, let's get this straight. I like Chase. Don't get me wrong. I like Chase. But if we got a chance to trade back, it addresses two needs. We can still get another impact player, and then I can get multiple draft picks to fill a lot of holes that we have. Let's say, for instance, that Dimey is playing a buff game, because what we're hearing is they're putting a lot of bad bones on Tua, so his stock will drop, so they can go ahead and possibly grab him at five. So let's say they hear that somebody else is trying to get him. So they push up and go ahead and give us 5, 18, and a second. I'll take that in a heartbeat. I'll take that in a heartbeat because I can address multiple needs. I can go ahead and get Simmons, who's another impact player who I think is probably going to be, you know, a Pro Bowler for years to come.
Seems like you'd be a star, yeah.
Exactly. And then you can go also draft, you know, they said we're front heavy on left tackles in the draft this year. Then you can go ahead in that first round, get your stud left tackle to go ahead and runs for the next 8 to 10 years. Then in the second round, I can go ahead and address a wide receiver. Then my third round, then I could probably go ahead and get the best tight end overall. So that right there takes care of a rack of needs that we would have right there. I would love to be able to make that move right there. But like I said, I love Chase, but I would love to be able to make that move right there because Chase is good. But if I got a tackle for 10 years and I got a stud right there that's going to go ahead and last and give me 5 Pro Bowls for another 10 years, that balances out. And then I can add a good receiver to him. They said in the Combine Senior Bowl, we have a wide receiver out there that's comparable to Terry McLuhan. He ran just as much time. I think it was on one of your show or Chad's show talking about this guy was good. He was just as quick as Terry. He was an undercover guy. He's highly rated that he should come out and be able to do the same things that Terry's doing. So we can go ahead and pair him up with Terry. Man, that would be terrorizing for people.
I'm with you. The problem is I just don't see a trade partner.
But would you do it?
Yes, I said for weeks I would trade out of it.
So you would do it for five
multiple stars.
You would do it for 5, 18, and a second round pick. I would not do that.
I think I would. And it has nothing to do with Chase. Chase is going to be a superstar, but I just think we need multiple players. And not just to win this year, but I mean to lay the foundation.
Right. You need to get loaded.
Yeah, and you know, I think that Chase Young is not the only guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer potentially or a Pro Bowler in this draft. There's going to be a rack of them.
But if they rate him so much higher than all those other guys, you know, a lot of these draft experts have him as the number one prospect in the draft.
I understand.
Why would you trade the number one guy in the draft for the fifth best, the 18th best, and like the 40th best.
Because just like when the Nats let Bryce Harper go, sometimes the sum of your parts are better than one. You know.
Yeah, but they gave Bryce Harper a chance. I just think that. You're giving up on an immense talent.
Look,
just
I don't
my
think
opinion.
It's not a knock against Chase, and if they draft Chase, I'll be excited. I just think they need multiple stars.
All right, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Jason Lockham, for NFL Insider, is going to join us coming up at 9. But we were talking about what the Redskins will do at number 2, and most people believe they are going to draft Chase Young with that number 2 pick. Jerry Brewer has a column in the Washington Post about this, that they shouldn't overthink it. But we kind of want you to overthink it right now and give us a scenario where they don't draft Chase Young number 2.
By the way, can I clarify something preferable. Real quick?
Yeah. Sure.
So we were talking about the Rosen deal. Rosen was traded. Yes, it was after the Cardinals selected
beforehand.
Murray, but he was traded during the draft for the second round pick, mm-hmm. the 62nd pick overall in last year's draft, and then a future fifth round pick for this year.
Mm-hmm. So
okay,
what's
so
the clarification?
He was traded during the draft.
During the draft, right.
And the Cardinals, I can't hear Eric, and the Cardinals were able to use that 62nd pick in last year's draft.
Okay, so it did happen during the actual draft.
Yeah.
Got it.
Drabby, is that correct?
He was traded on Friday night, I believe, during the draft.
Right, so he was traded during the draft. So my point was the Cardinals could still benefit in last year's draft by trading him.
Right. So yeah. I would assume if they draft Tua that they're going to immediately look to draft same thing,
right.
Trade Haskins Friday or late Thursday night.
Yeah, that was my point. So if they take Tua, they obviously have to trade Haskins, and I would assume it would either be before the draft so they can benefit in this year's draft or during the draft and they can still salvage a pick.
Right, but didn't you say, could Jason hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Didn't you say, though, that you didn't think that they would do it during the draft?
No, I didn't think that they would do it after the draft. I think they'll do it before the draft or during the draft, as long as they can salvage a pick in this year's draft. Yes.
Yeah.
Right, try to get back that second-round pick.
But I agree with you, Eric. They're not going to do it. They're going to take Chase Young.
I don't think they're going to do it just because I don't sense that, but I think they should strongly consider it. I really do. The problem is I just don't see a suitor. If you're on the outside looking in, you know, we've talked about it a million times, and you need a quarterback, you don't really need to trade with the Redskins because you can sit there if you're 5 and 6, if you're the Dolphins, you just wait. You're going to get one of the top 3.
Well, what it does
Unless
tell me.
You're worried about Detroit.
If they do take Tua.
On.
If the Redskins take Tua at number 2, it does tell me one thing, that Rivera is unquestionably the alpha male.
Because he's calling the shots.
That means he went to Dan Snyder and said, I don't care that you picked Haskins last year. That's not how we're doing things while I'm running this organization. So
right.
If that happens, it shows you that he is clearly in charge.
My gut initially when they signed Kyle Allen or traded for him, whatever the hell they did, was, well, this secures Haskins. But it doesn't because he's not a real threat for Haskins in theory. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't upgrade Haskins in the draft if they have an opportunity.
Of course, Kyle Allen is Ron Rivera's Colt McCoy. He's going to be here probably for 5 years as the backup,
just
like Jay Gruden had Colt.
Right.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. We do expect Chase Young to be the number 2 pick, and I think we're all okay with that. But we kind of want to hear from people who want to make a case for something different.
All right, let's go to line 1. Let's go to Reggie. D.C. Reggie, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Reggie.
What's going on, Junks?
Hey, what's up, Reggie? I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been?
Yeah, I know, man. I'm always a fan. I'm always listening and watching.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm always listening and watching. Hey, listen, the only way that I'm trading that pick is if they give me, like, the Ricky Williams, like, when, what's that, Dick did for us, or if we do the RG3. If you look at last year, like, the best player last year, it was Nick Bosa. Even though the Cardinals needed Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa was way better. And look at San Francisco's year and look at the Cardinals' year. This year, Chase Young is clearly the best player and Joe Burrow, just because of a need, is going to go number one. I'm not trading no 5 and 18. I'm in a second round pick for the best player in the draft. That means you're going to have to give me multiple first round picks this year if you have them, and a couple of picks next year for me to give up the best player in the draft. If you look at San Francisco 2018, they were just like the Redskins. They won 4 games. We won 3. They added Samuels. Jimmy Garoppolo played better. But Nick Bosa took a middle-of-the-pack defense and made them the second-ranked defense in the NFL, which then helped their offense, and they went and made it to the Super Bowl. And it's not necessarily saying
they were better positioned than the Redskins are right now. And just
how?
Jimmy G was a huge difference. So yes. The season before, they didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo, and then they have Jimmy Garoppolo.
That. We're talking about going into 2019 when he was hurt in 2018. So what position
exactly
made San Francisco better?
No, but my point is that they went from that team with a bad record to having a quarterback. And, yes, they added Nick Bosa, which made the defense better. But my point is the Redskins are only going to be able to do one of those things with Chase Young.
Yeah, but I agree with Reggie. Chase Young is worth way more than those trades you guys are throwing out there. Just this.
Maybe. What if he's Quinnen Williams and he only has 2.5 sacks? And, you know, I mean, everybody thought he was going to be an absolute monster.
He's a better player than Quinnen Williams.
I think he is.
He was a better college player, and he'll be a better NFL player.
I think he is, but you just never know. And I'm just not convinced that one defensive player like that is going to completely change your franchise around, whereas a quarterback will.
Who did we have on last week that actually said there was one little bit of a warning sign with Chase Young about his motor?
Well, they were a little bit concerned because the last
couple
games.
That was Solomon Wilcox.
But yes. I'm sure it's because that's how they schemed against him. I'm certain of that. You know what I mean?
I think he was getting doubled and tripled like when he played Wisconsin.
Of course.
The second time.
But he dominated.
Everybody's game plan is to stop him. Every single one.
He dominated Wisconsin. He dominated Penn State. He had all he had the suspension going through his head. I wouldn't put too much stock in that.
The thing is,
he's got a motor.
Don't get it twisted. I think we all agree. Like, I think he's going to – I'm going to take it as a given that he's going to be a superstar. I am taking it as a given. And I think that's a little bit risky, but I will just assume he is the cliched generational talent. It's not a knock against Chase. It's just that I think potentially more studs is better than one, you know, amazing stud.
But that's if they all hit. That's if all those guys pan out.
That's true.
I think there's a better chance that – taking Young at 2, that pans out and does well for your franchise, then rolling the dice on some lesser guys, then 3 lesser guys or however many picks you wind up getting for him.
Yeah, but lesser could be more. Listen, there's going to be, I don't know, on average, I'm just going to guess, 15 guys at least that make the Pro Bowl out of this draft, not next year, but over the life of their careers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of studs in this draft. He's not the only one.
Of course. I mean, that's the way it is in every draft.
I'm taking.
Exactly.
By the way, 3 guys just texted in on the Vibe machine. This is just funny. First guy says, what if the Bengals take Chase Young?
Right.
All right.
I
responded impossible.
Right.
Not impossible, but highly improbable.
Oh, so impossible.
It's impossible.
It's not happening. It's
the
impossible.
next guy goes, what if the Bengals take Chase Young? Do you draft Burrow? I mean, again, impossible.
Yeah. And but then, yes. And the then answer Brendan, to that is yes.
And then Brendan in Richmond goes, Cincinnati's going to fool everyone. They're going to draft Chase Young. I mean, this is not
going
to happen.
What's going on with the Thompson Creek Windows text machine?
I think
the Vibe machine.
I think they're all on marijuana this morning.
All right, very well.
Hey, it is 420. Jason, it's 420.
Oh,
remember
wow.
That.
True. I did not think about that.
You just have to realize what date it is.
Let's go to DJ in D.C., line 2. DJ, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks. DJ, are you there?
What a dude alive.
Oh, gotcha.
Doug Track checking in with his draft
DJ.
Board.
Right. Let's go to Travis in Florida, line 3. Travis, what's up?
Hey, guys. Man, I've been a listener since you guys were nights and weekends. Long-time listener, listen every day.
Thank you, buddy.
I was just trying to throw this out there. What do you think about somebody trading up for Chase Young and throwing some crazy package out? You know, I mean, he's a generational talent. Everybody knows he'd be great for the Skins, but we are loaded up front.
They just usually don't make trades like that for defensive players, right? It's usually for quarterbacks. I guess Ricky Williams.
But. It's the same for me. If you're going to trade out of that two spot and allow Chase Young to slip, it better be a sweetheart deal. That's got to be similar to what the Skins traded to get up to RG3. And that was a boatload.
Yeah. I just like the idea.
I just think he's too good.
I just like the idea of having multiple studs.
What did Chase do the year before?
He had
this year he had 16.5 sacks?
I think he had 10.5 sacks or something.
Okay.
I mean, but you know, last year was really the breakout, but before that I think he had like 10.5, something like that. Look, he's all over the field.
Yeah, I think he's a freak. I saw a video of him this weekend where he did one of those box jumps.
Yeah.
I think it was like 50 inches.
Yeah.
It was absurd.
No, there's no.
He is. He's a freak. Yeah.
I'm just taking it as a given that he's going to be like a 5-time Pro Bowler and he's just going to be a monster. He better have more of an impact than my guy Sweat did.
Beat up on Sweat.
Oh, he will be.
I thought Sweat was going to be an absolute monster.
He's got more talent in his left ankle than Sweat does in his whole
Sweat
body.
Sweat turned out to be like stiff.
You're
going to
be eating your words when my man Montez Sweat has double-digit sacks in 2020.
Well, I hope so.
Would you be okay with him if he turned into Ryan Kerrigan?
Yeah, of course. Sweat?
No, Young.
Chase Young, though. Chase Young's got to be better than Ryan Kerrigan.
He's got to be better than that.
He's got to be Khalil Mack level.
He's got to be like a game changer.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got to be Watt like level. Yeah, like somebody. The way they're talking about him, you're talking about a potential defensive MVP.
Right.
Like that kind of guy. Like the best defensive player in football at some point.
Right.
And
he's got to ascend to Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack territory, Von Miller.
Yeah, he can't. Yes. I mean, no disrespect to Ryan Kerrigan. He can't just be like 10 nice sacks. No.
Right.
Hey, by the way, Kerrigan
he can't be a guy where you look at the end of the year, you go, he had 10?
Right,
or 11. Like you were surprised he had that many.
In four games with nothing, and then all of a sudden he had 3 in 1 game.
And again, it's got to be more than just sacks. I know we get caught up in the stats and the sack total, and that's a big one. But it's it's tackles for loss, it's hurries.
Yeah, got to be stripping guys.
He's got to just be a huge impact player.
Yeah.
I think he will be.
By the way, going back to 2018 for Chase Young when he was in College Park for the game against the Terps limited him to 2 sacks. When they lost in overtime, when Piggy couldn't hit a wide-open guy in the end zone. I'm going to be thinking about that for the next 30 years, if I'm still alive in 30 years.
That could have beaten Ohio State.
Urban Meyer almost stroked down on the sideline.
I think he would have died.
He was having, like, convulsions on the sideline because he was about to lose to the Derps.
Thank God I was at a lacrosse game and I was only getting updates on my phone. I didn't have to witness that because I think I would have died.
By the way, speaking of the Terps, I saw Cakes. You got sized for the Keith Booth sightings last night in The Last Dance.
Well, who doesn't like that too?
Who doesn't like a fleeting Keith Booth sighting during The Last Dance on ESPN?
I forgot he was on that team.
He was.
You're gonna say, oh, there's Judd Bushler, like you know what I mean? You're gonna go Scotty Burrell, like that's kind of like I was saying him to Stevie, but those names don't mean anything to him.
Need
you know
zero.
I mean? But that was our heyday. That's when we knew everybody on the roster.
Joe Klein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Right?
You're going to be sized. Are you going to watch it right at 10 o'clock?
I've got to take my cars in for service. I'll come back. I'll do a little walk with the doggy.
So that's a no.
And then, 12. Not right at 10 o'clock, but I'll watch it before tomorrow. I'm going to watch both those episodes and Homeland today.
Text me what are you going to watch first?
I don't know. What should I watch first?
Well, I think you got to watch Last Dance. No,
Homeland
you got to watch Last Dance.
Homeland.
Jason,
I watched both last night.
I'm not spoiling anything.
Was that the season finale of Homeland?
No. One more to go.
One more left. I'm just going to give you two words that will intrigue you about today's episode / last night's episode.
Right.
Three words, actually. Young Saul Berenson. I'm just going to leave that there.
Young Saul Berenson. Okay.
Yes. It's called a flashback scene, Jason.
Yes. You need it in your life.
Yeah, I was telling my wife last night as we were watching it, though, Claire Danes is such a good actress, but she does the bug eye bit all the time, and she just looks manic and looks like she's about to go to a psychiatric ward at all times.
Yep.
That It's impossible, and I know she's an actress. It's impossible for her to be in like a romantic comedy in a sitcom.
Could you imagine her?
You know what? She's pigeonholed to be a psycho.
But
forever.
That's fine. Well, maybe now great living off of it.
Yeah.
You don't know who.
But she was in The Family Stone, what was kind of it was a comedy, and so you saw a totally different side of her as an actress.
Yeah.
But her lip always quivers.
A lot of quivering.
Yeah.
You don't know her real life husband, John Paul Flame.
I do not.
You don't know that it's John Sable who's in the president's ear show.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. John Sable.
Does anybody know that actor's name?
Is he the British dude?
The Brit. I think his last name's like Dancy.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Now you know. You guys should know that.
You were doing some Googling last night.
I was what?
You were Googling.
Him, yeah.
No,
when
I think
did you find that out?
My wife told me like 3 episodes ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how would I know?
By the way, JP, I finished Bloodline Season 3, okay? And the
Binge
people,
King.
I will say this.
Unbelievable.
Up through 7, the episode 7, it was fine. I liked it just as much as I did 1 and 2. But 8, 9, and 10 were maybe the 3 worst shows I've ever seen. 9 I fast-forwarded through it so many times because all it was dream sequences and ghosts. And it was confusing. It was terrible. Episode 9 was the worst episode I've ever seen. Episode 10 wasn't much better, but at least I got some sort of closure. But the way it ended was terrible.
I put you onto that show.
Yeah.
I don't think I watched the 3rd season. I think the 1st season was amazing. 2nd season was okay, and then I tapped out.
Now, you should watch Season 3. I'm just telling you that 9 and 10 are terrible episodes, but at least you get an ending. But up until then, it was fine.
But you are the binge king, man. So you finished Ozark in like a weekend.
Yep.
I think you finished Ozark right in 2 days. And you finished Bloodline 3 seasons. So that's 30 episodes?
33 episodes, yeah.
33 episodes. You finished that in like a week.
EB's the fire king. Jason, binge king.
Thank you, Cakes. Thank you. Thank you.
King of fire.
All right, EB, you want to do some entertainment page next?
Yes.
All right, let's open up the entertainment page, touch on the Hollywood, the music scene, find out what's going on next here on The Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk to Jason LaConfora, NFL Insider, coming up at 9 o'clock. Right now, though, we open up the entertainment page.
All right, boys. Got to lead off with the Joe Buck story. Been talking about this for a while now. Of course, during the quarantine, people have thrown out there the possibility. Joe Buck was doing like play-by-play of regular people like doing the dishes or people out mowing the lawn. Well, then people got creative and they said, well, would you do play-by-play of our sex tape? And of course he said, ha ha, no, sorry, I'm going to pass. Well, a site came up and actually offered him $1 million. I've never heard of this site. I'm sure Valdez has.
What's the name?
I think it's, is it I Am Live? Is that what it is? It's a webcam site.
Cam site. Cam girl site.
Yes. I Am Live. And they said all he'd have to do is he'd have to commentate on 25 live cam shows per week. That's actually a lot of work. But in return, through the end of May. So between now and the end of May, for the next 5 weeks, he'd have to do 25 live cam shows per week. They'd pay him $1 million.
The offer is tantalizing, but he would never work on network TV again.
Exactly.
So, like, you have to do the...
What do you think Joe Buck makes a year? 10, 15 million bucks a year? He's got to.
I mean,
with everything he does?
Probably. He's somewhere in that range.
I saw somewhere, I think Robin Roberts makes like 18 million bucks or something. I mean, Joe Buck has something
crazy. She's on Good Morning America, right?
Yeah. So he's got to make at least $15 million with all his gigs.
That's just dumb money.
Right?
Dumb.
Let me see what Bob Google says. $6 million.
$6 million? Yep. I'm not sure if that's accurate, but maybe it is.
Is he married to a broadcaster, too?
I think he did.
I saw she was joking.
Second wife. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a hot broadcaster.
It just says he's making $6 million.
But He actually said something creepy in here because it's Joe Buck, and I think of him as just sort of this big nerd.
Yeah.
Joe said that he would have to kindly turn it down, but maybe later in life. But then he said, depending on the site, they could just be handing me my money back.
Oh, really?
Insinuating that he's already got subscription to some of these sites.
That's pretty
funny. Valdez, just creeped me out.
Chuckling in the background.
We got a lot of tokens.
Right?
Hold on. Is that what they use for the cam sites? Is you buy tokens?
That's what Drab told me.
Yeah, right.
What Drab told you, yes, of course.
Right. All right, so what is this thing with Joe Exotic, the Tiger King? Now they're saying he originally wanted to be the Wolf King. According to TMZ, Joe got 28 gray wolves back in 2018. After a lawsuit forced a petting zoo in Minneapolis to give them up. So he took them.
What sort of petting zoo has wolves? Like last time I went to, I've been out of the petting zoo game for a while, but usually it's like there might be like, I don't know, goats. There might be like a potbelly pig. I don't
think a llama.
Yeah, llama and an alpaca. I don't think you got like a wolf roaming around a petting zoo.
Right. Well, you know, when I see these images of Joe with these tigers, and remember, one of the producers said the great irony about this whole thing is that Joe was terrified of the tigers, he was only ever with one that was tranquilized.
Well, you know what? Rightly so. Wouldn't you be terrified of a tiger? Shouldn't you be terrified of a tiger?
Yeah, but don't call yourself the Tiger King if you're only going to be with one that's been tranquilized or a blind one. Right. But now it makes sense why he walked around with that gun all the time. Besides being a lunatic, he probably had that gun because he was going to shoot that tiger if a tiger ever took a false step.
Got to
be
prepared, EB.
You got to be prepared. Yeah.
By the way, I didn't watch enough to know. Did he actually refer to himself as the Tiger King, or was that just a documentary name?
No,
if you went to visit him at his zoo, did they say, "Here's the Tiger King, Joe Exotic"?
Not really. I don't think so.
Did Jason drive by his zoo years ago when he was in Oklahoma? Can you tell us that?
No.
You did not?
Not unless it was on a desolate road with a freaking tornado on it.
Oh, I think it's on a desolate road somewhere in the middle
of
Oklahoma.
I saw it.
Eric, I watched the one with Joe McHale this weekend.
Yeah.
Where he's like interviewing all the cast.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
You are?
Just too much.
Too much.
Well, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, about Tiger King?
Like, yeah, you've learned everything you could know about the guy.
I mean, the guy's a scumbag.
This might be the last Tiger King story.
He's had his 15 minutes.
I'm just going to say, we've had, I think, 15 straight EPs with Tiger King stories.
Hey, don't blame me.
I'm just saying.
There's an international fascination.
It was
with
the
this
number
dude.
One show on Netflix. But I will tell you, I only got through an episode and a half, and I'll never watch any more of it. I'd rather watch Too Hot to Handle again. Also, the number one show on Netflix now.
I told you that Tiger King was good, not great, way overhyped, and it was probably two episodes too long. Just like, you know, it dragged. It really dragged. But still interesting. There's no question about it. Bill Cosby's in the news because, like many of these guys that are in prison, they're trying to get out with the COVID-19 outbreak. You know, much like people that are in nursing homes, if you're in prison, you're pretty much a sitting duck. And his lawyers are saying, with his health, you know, he would. There's no way he would survive it if he got the virus. But a judge has said no. He's been denied compassionate release, thank God, and he's going to have to stay in prison.
I saw Michael Cohen was released. He gets self-confinement.
Right. Michael Cohen was released. Listen, if you're a nonviolent criminal and you only have, I don't know, a couple years or whatever – mm-hmm. The prisons are overcrowded anyway.
Yeah, they're going to hook you.
I'm okay with that.
But what did he go to jail for anyway? Lying to Congress? Is that what
I don't even
happened?
Know ultimately what it was. But he wasn't like a violent criminal.
Right.
Right. So like, but like, you know, Cosby's a sex offender. I mean, they're letting some pedophiles go. That's insane.
But here's my question. So Michael Cohen, who was Trump's attorney, gets let out. He's just at home, like we are, by the way. Right. His life now is no.
We're on house arrest,
not really
too.
Different than ours. I don't know. Maybe he's got an ankle bracelet or something. He can't go out to the stores. I don't know how it's different.
Yeah, his life is better. He can't go out to the stores and catch a deadly virus.
And he's the guy who, like, made the payments to Stormy Daniels and stuff like that. So he's supposedly going to write a tell-all, but can he make profit? Shouldn't he not be allowed to make profit off that if he's in jail?
It's a good question.
Oh, I think you could make profit if you're in jail. I mean, it's a bad look. Like,
that's a good question.
You know, like,
sure.
You make profit off a murder or something. I mean, I don't know. I think a criminal could. Of course, you could write a book and make profit, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
He probably won't pay taxes.
I don't think
you're
supposed to make profit off your crimes.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Actually, maybe you're right. So maybe he's.
I'm sure there's some sort of end around, and he's going to release it before the election and all that stuff. But I just wonder if he can make profit off of it.
Well, there's a bunch of people that have served time, like Pete Rose served time, but he wrote a book,
right?
You know, once tax evasion.
Maybe once you're done.
Maybe once you're done.
Once you serve your time. I'm sure it depends on the state law.
I would read his book, not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
No interest.
I'm with
well,
you,
raise man. Your hand if you've read a book during the quarantine.
No hands going
during
up.
The quarantine.
I mean, Jason.
Last 30 years.
Jason has so many bookshelves back there, not a single book. It's all pictures.
Yeah, dude.
You think he's read any books?
No, you can't see it, Richie. It's all on this. It's over here.
The last
now, of course, they're all sports books.
Right. That's all I've ever read is sports books. And the last book I've read is certainly a Feinstein book, but I couldn't tell you which one.
I definitely got the Jordan Rules up there, which I did read.
The Jordan Rules is a great book. In fact, I thought about giving that to my son last night to read, but then I thought, he doesn't read.
It's hard enough to get him to do online courses.
Right. You're not kidding. Shocker, Lurch, your girl Ellen DeGeneres is in the news, and they're saying her crew is distraught because there's been a lack of communication regarding their pay during the shutdown. Uh-huh. They've been working from home. I guess she's been I haven't seen any of this. She's been broadcasting from her house. Is that what she's been doing? And
I mean, I think she posts videos. I mean, I don't think they're doing full shows.
I think they are. I think they are now. Just like American Idol just did like a full show.
Well, I think what they do, I think what they do is she'll post video or post live videos during the, you know, the 3 to 4 window, but then they'll go back to pre-recorded stuff too to fill out the hour.
Well, I know that Jimmy Fallon is broadcasting from home, as are like all the late night hosts.
Yeah.
I saw him do one of his monologues without an audience. Wow. But unfunny.
It's tough.
It's
right?
Hard. It's difficult.
I feel bad. Like comedians, you need an audience.
You need that audience, man. Yeah. Definitely.
It said that the crew is taking a 60% haircut.
Can you imagine? Well, they think that they're threatening a 60% pay cut, which is just brutal. And they just haven't had communication about it. And, you know, it kind of fits in with the rumors. Look, I feel for Ellen in a sense because she's not responsible for her crew. She could just do her job. But she's been known to be kind of a jerk.
She makes $30 million a year. She can float them.
You would think maybe she could float them a little bit. Right?
Yeah, I would think so.
A year, that's nice.
She makes some crazy, I think it's 20 to 30 million.
Right.
All right, boys. Coming up next, we got Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider. We'll get back into the draft, some trade rumors, and more right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.